resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
For a Free Palestine, an evening of films by Palestinian women, on Monday, July 26th. This is a sunset screening, Cinema Politica's first live event since the pre-COVID era. This event will start at 7 p.m. It will take place behind 3729 Jean Mons in the alley. Enter by the parking lot on Saint-Famille, just south of Pine Avenue. That's Monday, July 26th. This event is co-presented by the Dakira Collective, Milton Park Citizens Committee, Projection Insurgée, Academics for Palestine at Concordia University, and Students in Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights at McGill. Info, cinemapolitica.org. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
are listening to the Free Kick Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, or perhaps you're tuning in via ckut.ca from wherever you are in the world. My name is Malcolm, and it's always a thrill to be here doing my monthly guest spot, spinning some music for you on my very favorite radio show. Imagine that. We just heard a song called Apeiphanies by the artist known as Maki from his upcoming record coming out on all platforms July 30th. That's next Friday. And this whole show is dedicated to the artist known as Maki. Some of you might know him. He's born in Saskatchewan, came of age in Ottawa and Toronto, came to prominence on the Berlin music scene in the early 2000s, and is currently based in LA, though he's lived many other places as well. I'm going to talk to him about his music and his new record, Overtones for the Omniverse. I'm going to play a couple tracks, starting with Little Bird from the Moxtape Volume 1 back in 2013, and Tomorrow Maker from 2015's Key Change. Then we'll get to the interview. I'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening to The Free Kick.
Every time I get closer.
Maki, welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We know each other from way back in Ottawa days.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that you moved there from Saskatchewan, is that right?
That's right. Yep. I back in the old days, coming off the prairies and hitting that kind of moist Ontario air, moving to the big time. As it seemed to me.
I don't know what part of Saskatchewan you were in, but I was thinking the other day about like the part of Saskatchewan where you can stop the car and just look around and there's horizon as far as the eye can see in every direction. Was that something you grew up with?
Yeah. Yeah. Like those postcards, you know, where you see the kind of patchwork field.
I don't know why I just thought of it. We've never talked about that before, but It's always seemed to me like there's something really existential about it.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Like there's this sense of just wide open space and like sort of unlimited room to run and just go, especially being in like small towns where I grew up, which were, you know, I was born in Regina. I mean, this is great doing an interview with a Canadian because, you know, there's a chance some people out there might have heard of some of these places, you know.
Yeah.
The first line of my autobiography will definitely be I was born in Regina, because internationally that always gets a laugh. But and then it was like Lumsden, right. Cupar, then Lumsden, you know, there's these little towns, one traffic light, no, like one paved road. And my dad, who grew up in Yemen and Somalia, for him it was interesting. It was like very similar to this kind of like desert like existence, and he always loved it out there as well.
Yeah, I mean, you said wide open spaces, but to me it felt like more than wide open. It was like infinite. It's like looking into infinity when you look around.
Yeah, yeah, and then moving to Ottawa was like, I felt like I was moving into an episode of Degrassi Junior High, you know? Like, it felt like I was somehow moving to America, really, you know? It was such a change. And I remember taking the bus for the first time and like at 12 or something and wondering like how they knew where I lived, you know, still kind of a bit green behind the ears. And that's when I met you in those sort of like teen punk band years that we share.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I remember very vividly that there was like a rumor about you. It was like, oh, if you go to the music room, you can see this guy playing drums. He's really crazy. Like, and so like your reputation preceded you even as a kid.
Well, likewise.
Well, when you said Degrassi, I thought that's probably because I dressed a lot like Joey Jeremiah.
Yeah, for sure. Days. You must have been a part of that. Yeah.
So anyway, I am, you know, getting around to the point here because I remember I'm going to circle around to the central point. It's just how I move. I was asking about Saskatchewan in part because like I feel that when you put out your record called Saskamodi, it kind of represented a new turn in your musical style. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. It was like almost like a rebirth or a second life.
The rain came to watch from the top. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess I should not have this be too insider-ish for the people listening, but I remember that when you put out the record Key Change some years later, there was a review in a paper that said something like, you know, this isn't the Mocky we knew before. And I was kind of like, well, yes and no, because I knew you from the sort of like wild, you know, Berlin electro days. Also knew you from back before then when you were putting out tapes of your four-track stuff. To me, it all kind of fits into a pattern. But like, I guess what I'm getting at is, were you worried about that reinvention, or do you still feel like you're balancing the two things?
I feel like I thrive on the reinvention. You know, I have built a survival strategy out of it as a sort of musical chameleon that you know, has enabled me to be still here, still in the game. You know, however many albums, mox tapes, productions later, breathing like a certain type of oxygen that keeps the artist in me alive, you know? And so for me, like also as a producer, when I work with artists, there's a sort of necessary vulnerability and insecurity that you have to go to find something new. You know, we kind of all relate like to your favorite band. Maybe their first album is like a classic and second one, okay. It's the rarer thing when a band or a group can maintain sort of that spark. And for me, it's like in my feeling about the music, it happens through reinvention and just like always trying to find the next thing and not taking the comfortable route. And showing like something new, you know?
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a bit about your new record, Overtones for the Omniverse.
Mm-hmm.
tell me a little bit about it as a project. Where does it fit into the Maki master plan?
Right. Well, it kind of came out of nowhere to me. Like, I sort of had this this momentary vision where I pretty much heard the record in my head and knew what I had to do to make my next album. And that's what happens to me from time to time. I'll kind of, like, I may have been writing stuff and making demos or writing like melodies or on the piano or whatever, but it takes a certain kind of like vision to come to me. And then I'm like, okay, now I know what the record is. And it's kind of what I try to do is make something that may hopefully resonate with people at the right time and place. Like, music is all about timing from the micro to the macro, whether it's like, you know, putting the backbeat in the perfect place or releasing music at a time when, you know, it might resonate with people. So in the case of OFTO, which is how I abbreviate Overtones for the Omniverse, it kind of fits in. It's almost like a bit of a left turn because it's very orchestral, and it's all done in 36 hours in this studio where Stevie Wonder recorded songs in the key of life, and I had a harp player and strings and a choir, all of friends that I kind of brought together. And in a way, it's sort of trying to maybe split the difference between Saskamody and A Key Change. Saskamody was like mostly me playing everything except for a few choice helping hands. Like, and on this record, I wanted to more do it in real time, you know, with actually people playing together, playing all the parts, and try to get that kind of almost like a larger dynamic frame in a way.
Okay.
And we recorded a bunch of stuff, and some of it, like, I didn't end up on the record. Some of it's on the Japanese exclusives. And it was good that we did it, because within a week the first lockdown came. Like, we had no idea as we were recording it that COVID was real.
Yeah, I it almost seems like kind of a beautiful, just the fact of all the people being in the room together was something that we then proceeded to not be able to do for the next year and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
But you didn't, it wasn't on your radar at that point as a concept.
I think there might have been some, you know, like water cooler talk, like, so what about this thing? You think it's for, you know, like, but definitely, like, I was just recently looking at some video footage of the sessions and stuff, and it's clear just from the way that we're interacting that it's a pre-COVID session, you know, one of the last sessions, like, I think probably one of the last sessions for many people before the lockdown. So, and I've kind of sat on the record till now, you know, and carefully mixed it with Renaud Latong, and or I should say he mixed it, and just like excited that it's finally like seeing the light of day.
Did you choose the studio because it was where Stevie Wonder recorded?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been kind of like my template for making like albums in recent times, in the sense of, you know, I have a studio, but the stuff I do there is a bit like mad scientist, you know, and how to differentiate between different projects and stuff. So, on A Day at United, we went to like a classic, that was the album before this one. We went for a day United, which is a studio that was formerly owned by Frank Sinatra, and just so much history there. This one, when I heard that place was still functioning, and just it kind of occurred to me, you know, I had to be a part of that history. And that's one of the things that I love about LA, is that you can kind of engage with so much musical history and depth, and you kind of have the musical version of those wide open horizons from Saskatchewan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, did you feel any, like, it might sound corny to say, but did you feel any kind of vibe when you were in there, like reflecting that history?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, you're sitting at the same piano, like we were sort of sitting around the piano doing songs that were recorded there. And, you know, you feel like you have something to own up to, live up to, aspire to. So it's a different thing from just doing it at your own spot, which is also great, you know, but it kind of helps in the sense of a lot of old classic albums and music that we consider classic now, were recorded in a day or two, you know? So it's
sure
part of my theory, at least for this style of record that I'd be making, is that for better or worse, it's could be the best bet to make something both relevant and timeless, by sort of going back to the future, so to speak, like going back and like using slightly older methodology, find a way to make something relative for now and moving forward.
Yeah. Do you feel that, like, when, how could I put this? Like you, like we were saying off the top, you have these two modes in a way. One is like more associated with like electronic dance vibe, hip hop to some extent, and like keeping current with musical tendencies that are going on. And then there's another part that's this sort of, you know, I think of as extremely timeless and wholly original, music. Do they inform each other, like when you were, or is it all part of the same thing to you?
I know what you mean. I think that comes down to like the tools at hand for the most part. Like, but the thing that connects the like, for example, if you just have like a drum machine and a microphone, okay, versus having a 16-piece orchestra in the same studio that Stevie Wonder recorded. The thing that connects those two things is the mentality. In my case, sort of like almost DIY, like punk mentality. So either way, it's gonna work out. And in regards to electronic music, to me, electronic music sounds best when it's backfiring, misfiring. People are using the equipment in a way that maybe it wasn't made to be used that way, or because it's such a new piece of equipment, you're doing something strange with it. And that goes for even going back in the day, whether it's electronic instruments or like electric guitars, whatever, just, mm-hmm. you know, so that approach to kind of make a mistake and do something right, to quote Sun Ra, you know? And that's what connects the two for me, but for sure they influence each other. And then on a deeper, more musical nerdy kind of level, when I'm making more vintage retro-y style stuff, that's just how I play, because I came up in a bubble, sort of first in Saskatchewan and then in Ottawa and Toronto, sort of somewhat, playing older styles. 'Cause like in the early 90s, it was like kind of a throwback retro thing to play in a sort of like Sly and the Family Stone, Santana style group, like I did with Freeway mm-hmm. Band. Shout out right. Freeway Band. Or, you know, like sort of like, so I kind of actually legitimately came up as a, like, I think my first review in Ottawa, in the Ottawa Citizen, I think, when I was talking about the Freeway Band, it said something like 16-year-old Wonder Thumper, Dominic Salol, you know? So like just keeping the drums going, keeping the rhythm going, playing in this kind of retro style. So when I play now, it's almost like I'm, in some ways I'm trying to make a sample, if that makes sense. Like when I'm laying in a bass part, a keyboard part, a drum part, I'm sort of existing within an endless sample. You know, that's how the electronic side informs the live side, you know? Like it's almost like every second should be an amazing sample.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You know, and so that comes from sort of the slow evolution from what I just mentioned, sort of growing up playing in like kind of a funk band and doing the job, to then exploring jazz and becoming kind of a hip hop producer in Toronto. Shout out Fat Al. And, you know, and then kind of moving on and doing sort of electronic music in the heels of Peaches and Gonzalez. Shout out Peaches and Gonzalez, right?
We're on some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. We're on some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. We're on some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. We're on some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. We're on some heavy shit. On some heavy shit. Chevy took a heavy shit. Summer loving it, dumbing it down, dominant. On some heavy shit. Never say never shit. Summer loving it, dumbing it down, dominant. I'm daring donuts to teacups and donuts. Why?
So it's sort of like an evolution, and I've just been so lucky yep. to play with so many amazing people that like you somehow can stand having me around.
And, that reminds me, you said earlier, you talked about producing other artists, and you've had a whole other side career, like as a producer and as a songwriter. Like, what are some of your own favorite tunes that you've done with other people?
Well, you know, I think I'd have to say So Sorry with Feist.
I'm sorry, two words I always think after you're gone, when I realize I was acting all wrong. So selfish, two words that could describe. Oh, actions of mine, when patience is in short supply. We don't need to say goodbye. We don't need to fight and cry. Oh, we could hold each other tight tonight.
Multiply with Jamie Liddell.
Please go on with a smile. Oh, I'm so tired of being.
Take Me to Broadway with Gonzalez. Off the top of my head, you know, just to like name a few kind of close to the heart ones. It's a great thing to be able to make music with people you love and to incorporate that into your own music. So as a producer and songwriter, like, it brings so much to my own music and artistry, basically, to be, you know, going back and forth between the two sides, sort of.
Yeah. So are you working with any other artists right now or working on any other people's records?
Yeah, I am. It's, you know, it's, with the whole COVID thing, it's been a little slow. but it's starting to pick up. Definitely, like, I've always got batches of tracks on the go, but nothing that I can mention just yet. But soon I can update you. But for sure, I released a couple tracks featuring Liliana Andrade from Portugal last year. And we've got a few more on the go now that I'm super excited about that we're going to release probably next year.
Cool. Is that, what kind of stuff is it?
Well, it's sort of changing, but it's sort of, she's Cape Verdean. So she brings a cool flow to it. It's kind of worldy electro, I could say, maybe.
Okay.
Retro electro world music.
There's got to be some kind of wordplay to do with retro electro, but we won't get into that now.
Yeah.
So you're based in LA. You've been there for quite a few years now, but you had a bit of a sabbatical year in Portugal. What did you take away from that experience?
You know, it was just a great kind of mind expander to just completely uproot, like, myself and the family and take a year and a half in a new place, new culture, new language. And you know, I think what I took away from it is this new album, Overtones for the Omniverse, because the music that was brewing in my head during that whole time, when I got back, I just kind of managed to get it on some stacks of paper and get it to the studio, you know. But you know, like, wherever you are, there you are, you know, that's it. So you can kind of go to a lot of places, but ultimately you're trying to find your tribe. And, I think, these days tribe can be scattered pretty far and wide. And, you know, with, like what we're doing right now, talking long distance, you can keep in touch with people that way, and it's great. But ultimately, I found that, like, I needed to come back to LA, where, like, the backbeat was keeping me in line, you know? Like, I was missing a bit of the can I put it, the community and tribe that I have sort of so preciously like curated and managed to be lucky enough to make here, you know? So I'm looking to start up my Maki and Friends residency again, like in the near future, which was a big part of like my time in LA before Portugal.
Cool. Is there anything else you want people to know about your new record, Overtones for the Omniverse?
Just the incredible like cast of musicians that are on it that helped me to create it, that I'm so thankful for. Like in the little choir, Moses Sumney, Feist, Eddie Chacon, Duran Bernard, Nia Andrews. And then in the band, Joey Dossick, Pegasus Warning, Aponte, Randall Fisher, and then my co-producers, Justin Stanley and Renaud Letang. So a lot of great people that, you know, helped to make those 2 days turn into music that like deserve a major shout out.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing the record, and I hope that at some point we'll get to see you come to Montreal and play some songs again.
Yes, definitely. I'm figuring next year, you know.
Let's hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I can almost see you smile in my imagination. And although I have never heard you laugh, I can almost hear you cry when I'm all alone. It's how I wanna be.
lobster in a cage. I'm a fool, writing words on the page. So don't try to tell me to stop fooling around, 'cause I can't help myself. I can't stop clowning around. I'm a fool, so don't mind me. Someone like me to find.
find love as apparently it was for you.
You are listening to the Free Kick Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name is Malcolm, and we just heard three songs, three of my favorite songs by Maki, Somehow, Someday from Saskamody, 2009, I'm a Fool from Navy Brown Blues in 2006, and All Alone from In Mesopotamia back in 2001. And before that, we heard a half-hour interview with Maki, during which we wove in the following songs. Feeling Like I Like by Maki featuring Liliana Andrade. Prior to that, we heard three songs that were co-written and or produced by Maki. Chili Gonzalez gave us Take Me to Broadway from Presidential Suite. Jamie Liddell with the title track from his album Multiply. Feist with So Sorry from The Reminder. And a bunch of Maki tunes before that. Heavy Shit featuring Peaches and Gonzalez from In Mesopotamia. Breaking Bread with the Devil from the self-released 1998 CD Bébé Mécanique. Two tunes from his upcoming album Overtones from the Omniverse, Bora and Stevie's Room. The title track from Bébé Mécanique, You're Mocking Me from R&B back in 2004, and Birds of a Feather from Saskamody in 2009. Thank you, Maki, for coming on the show, and thank you all very much for listening. I'm going to sign off with one last Maki song from the upcoming album Omnitones for the Omniverse, out July 30th on all platforms, and this song is called Humans. Thanks for listening to The Free Kick.
Walking, talking, hesitating. We are. Watching, waiting, anticipating. We like to pretend. But we are humans, being human, it's the only thing we know. Humans, being human, again.
We got
feelings, dealing, and it takes time for healing.
Êtes-vous locataire à Montréal? Avez-vous des questions sur vos droits? Votre comité logement peut vous aider. Pour trouver le comité logement pour votre quartier ou pour plus de ressources, visitez le www.rclalq.qc.ca.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
The global outbreak of COVID-19 has affected all our lives in various ways. And it has notably drawn our attention to the intensified systemic racism and selective xenophobia towards our racialized friends in our Canadian society. It is understandable for each of us to feel anxious about this fatal disease. However, the sentiment of fear does not give us the right or the opportunity to conduct hate crime and to discriminate against our Asians, Blacks, Indigenous, and other racialized friends. It is not okay to associate the COVID-19 disease with Asians, particularly those of Chinese descent. It is not okay to conduct physical and psychological abuses towards racialized individuals. It is not okay to vandalize Asians and other marginalized owned businesses. We must stop normalizing and stop accepting racist conducts and hate speeches towards all racialized communities. Rather, in these unprecedented times of global pandemic, together, we must educate ourselves and others and be eager to understand race, systemic racism, and racial justice in Canada and elsewhere. Remember, whoever, wherever, and whenever we are humankind. We must learn to stand together as citizens of the world for a healthier, safer, and happier community.
CKUT 90.3 FM in the beautiful city of Montreal in the middle of summer. This is Future Classic Radio live edition straight out of Chez Laurier, as we have been for the last year and a bit, missing the studio, really missing the studio. I'm the one Tash Moonstar, also in the place. And we're doing this until 2 p.m. Eastern, all over the map in terms of music. It's what we're feeling, and hope you're going to be feeling it too. Always on a soulful tip. But wherever that takes us, you shall see. We shall all see. So keep it locked here for the next hour. Moonstar on the decks.
Let's go.